Hello everybody, it's Mr. Tall 23 back in our video. This video's purpose is to call out a false teacher on YouTube named Daniel John Lee. His channel is known as DNAJILION 7. I don't really know how to say that. Danagillion or something like that. 7. Okay? Now I used to watch this guy's videos, although I didn't really know that much about him. I just kind of subscribed to him. Because I watched like one or two videos by him, and I didn't really know much about what he believed and what he taught. So for a while, Daniel seemed like a mystery because I would only watch some brief videos, mostly about updates in his life. However, upon actually seeing what he believes and teaches, as well as the actions that he's performed, it's clear that he is a false prophet and he needs to be called out. He needs to be rebuked. This man's website is called spiritandtorah.com. And it gives his ministry the title of Torah Restoration Ministries. And before going to some of the specifics, I just want to address his false doctrines first, which appear on his statement of beliefs that is on the website, Torah Restoration Ministries. So if you go to the website, spiritandtorah.com, you'll see a link on the page, on the side of the page, called Statement of Doctrinal Beliefs. And although this isn't in order, I want to first address his doctrines concerning the gospel and salvation. And this would include specifically points 21 to 24, which on his website say, obedience to every jot and tittle of Torah through the indwelling power of the Ruach is necessary for salvation. However, Apostle Paul did say that there is no knowledge of the Torah, there cannot be sin. Theologians Charles Finney and Gordon Olson are clear that we are only responsible for that which we know. So we understand many Christians are on track to inherit salvation and eternal life while they may be ignorant of their moral obligation to keep Torah to its fullest extent. This will be remedied in the Christian world shortly. The knowledge of the Torah is thundering forth to the Christians who seek to know Messiah in a greater way. 22 says, only the blood atonement provided by Messiah can wash away our past transgressions of Torah and justify us. 23, keeping Torah is a result of being justified by Messiah. And 24, a true believer lives in a perpetual state of sinlessness and does not violate Torah per 1 John 3, 6-11 and Matthew 5:48. If a believer should transgress Torah, immediate repentance is required or he is once again bound for eternal torment. Transgressions of Torah should be far and few between in the life of a believer and non-existent in those who have been believers for any sustained period of time. So Daniel John Lee teaches hardcore work salvation. Okay, he teaches that one can lose their salvation and that when somebody puts their faith in Jesus, when somebody who's actually somebody who believes, that they will stop sinning. Okay, otherwise that they will be bound again for the lake of fire. Now this, of course, everything that has been said so far about salvation on his website is false. Okay, to anybody who knows the Bible, you will understand that this is heresy and is completely foreign and contrary to the Word of God. So this man needs to be addressed because he is starting to become more and more influential. Okay, so for many years now he's done street preaching, he's preached publicly on college campuses, and he's starting to gain more and more of a following on YouTube, especially because he started making videos on political things. So his lies need to be addressed. And I used to have his channel on my recommended list on my channel, but as soon as I learned that this is what he actually believes, it didn't take me even 30 seconds to take down his channel from that recommended list. So, first of all, he says that we have to obey Torah in order to be justified. So do we have to obey the law perfectly in order to receive eternal life? Absolutely not. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 to 28 says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues have they used deceit. The poison of asses is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Okay? Very simple. The entire passage alone could have probably just refuted his entire doctrine. So there's nothing that you can do in the law which can save you. Why? Because as it explains in Romans 3:10-18, everybody is a sinner. Okay, to say that you have to perfectly follow the Torah and everything that it says is just impossible. It's impossible to do that. Okay, nobody has stopped sinning. Nobody can stop sinning, okay? Nobody will ever turn from sin. Nobody is capable of not sinning. Therefore, the only way we can be saved is by putting our trust in Christ to save us. Okay, Christ wouldn't have been manifested. He wouldn't have been coming to this world. There would be no point for his death on the cross if somebody could be justified by keeping the Torah. Nobody can keep the Torah perfectly. Okay, and you have Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23, which tells us that we're all sinners, but there's also Ecclesiastes 7:20 that says, for there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And then 1 John 1:8 that says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, 1 John is being written to believers, to people who are already saved, people who are already Christians. So he's basically saying to people who are brethren, people who are believers, hey, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay? And then Paul said concerning keeping the law for salvation in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law there shall no flesh be justified. And then Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 and 6 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith worketh with love. Okay? So it's very clear that it doesn't matter if you are circumcised or not. It doesn't matter if you follow the law or not. If you try to justify yourself by keeping the law, you've fallen from grace, okay? Christ is made of none effect to you. Christ means nothing to you because you're trying to justify yourself by your own righteousness and you're going to fail because everybody's a sinner. And the Bible clearly teaches that salvation is by faith, by putting your trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you and not in any righteous thing which you think that you can do. Okay, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John chapter 6, verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6, 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John chapter 11, verse 25 to 26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Acts chapter 16, verse 30 to 31. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So in the last two verses, Acts 16 and Romans chapter 10, it says, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say, thou might be saved, depending on whether or not you keep the Torah. No, if you confess the name of the Lord Jesus and you believe in him, you trust on him, in your heart, you will be saved. No matter what, you shalt be saved. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 1 John 5, chapter 9 to 13, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So over and over and over again, the Bible clearly says that we're justified by faith, that we have eternal life by putting our trust in Jesus to save us. Okay, and that's not by any works. There's no good thing that we could do. There's no law we can follow. There's no work we can do. No commandment that we can obey that can save us. We just have to put our trust in Jesus Christ in order to give us eternal life. And yes, turning from your sin, okay, so obeying the Torah perfectly, turning from your wicked ways and repenting of your sin is work, okay? The Bible says in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, okay? And then it says in Romans chapter 11, verse 6, and if by grace, then is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So works and grace through faith are two entirely different things. You can't just say that you need to have both, that you need to believe in Jesus, but you also need to perfectly obey God and turn from all your sins. Okay, because that doctrine is just foreign to Scripture. It's completely foreign to Scripture. It's not even found anywhere. It's just not the gospel whatsoever. It's a false gospel. Now, what about the claim of Daniel John Lee that you can lose your salvation, as he said in point 24 of his doctrinal statement? He also says that the Bible teaches sinless perfection. Once again, this is heresy. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there's only two types of people in this world, those who believe and who are not condemned, and those who don't believe and who are condemned. Now notice how Jesus says, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So this hypothetical person has never believed. Okay, now if it were possible to lose your salvation just by transgressing the Torah, then this wouldn't make any sense, because then there would be people who are condemned, but who had believed in the past. No, there's those who believe and those who have never believed. Those who never believed are the ones who are condemned. It's not the people who believed and then they just sinned one time and then they just go to the lake of fire. Okay? The Bible also says concerning eternal security in John chapter 10, verse 28 to 29, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Okay? You're making God a liar, you're making Jesus a liar by saying that they can perish if they're given eternal life. Okay, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So we're sealed. Okay, nothing can separate us from God once we've been born again. I mean, the Bible repeatedly calls salvation a gift from God. In Romans 6:23, it says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and so on. Okay, a gift can't be taken away. If I give a gift to somebody, I can't just come back the next day because they were mean to me or they didn't do what I asked them to do and just take it from them, okay? Then it wouldn't be a gift. It would just be something that they're borrowing, okay? He has given us eternal life as a gift by renewing our spirit, by making us a new creature. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we need to be born again. Are we born again in the flesh? No. Okay, our flesh does not change. So when 1 John 3:9, which Daniel John Lee gives as evidence of sinless perfection, when 1 John 3:9 says that one who is born of God does not sin, it's not talking about the flesh. It's not talking about an individual with their flesh and their spirit. It's just talking about the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So does this new creature include the flesh? No. Okay? It's only the born-again spirit that's incapable of sin. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would." In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of their mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." The Bible says concerning the resurrection of the dead in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 to 53, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So it's not until the return of Christ, when Jesus comes in the clouds, that our bodies are made incorruptible. Right now, before Jesus returns, we still have the old man. We still have the old flesh. Okay, right now, we still have the outward man, which is capable of sinning. That's the flesh. It's a daily struggle to put off sin and to try to suppress it. Okay, but as long as the flesh is still here, it's still possible to sin. That's why in 1 John 1:8, John said, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." So teaching sinless perfection, or that a believer will always get to the point where they can just never sin again, is a lie. Okay, Paul admitted that because he had the flesh, he was still a sinner. Okay, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote several books of the Bible, says in Romans chapter 7, verse 13 to 25, "Wasn't that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that is good. Now then it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So Paul is flat out admitting that even though he's been born again, even though he has a righteous mind that is incapable of sinning, which is what 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 to 11 is talking about, even though that is true, the flesh is still here, and that causes him to serve the law of sin with his flesh. So to say that a believer would just stop sinning altogether is just completely ridiculous. Okay, until the resurrection of the dead, this will not happen because there's no outward change of the flesh. It's only of the spirit. So in conclusion, regarding the gospel, Daniel John Lee teaches hardcore work salvation, which is contrary to scripture. That's just one of the many problems with them, okay? He also believes in a doctrine called modalism, which I made a video about a few weeks ago. Okay, on his doctrinal statement page, he says, in point one, "Yahshua is Yahweh in the flesh. Trinity is heresy. Please see link on Trinity versus Akkad." Now, if you find the page on his website, there's actually two articles about it, but he says within one of the articles, "Yah is not a trinity. He does indeed manifest as the Father, the Son, the Ruach, a pillar of fire, a pillar of smoke, a burning bush, and so many other ways. Yah is one in the Akkad sense. He can be the Father in heaven and the Son on earth at the same time. Oh, how great is Yah." He also said in an earlier article, the Trinity versus Akkad article, about the subject, he said, "Yahshua can manifest as the Son and the Father at the same time. Yahshua can manifest as a pillar of fire or a burning bush. He can manifest as a person, an angel, heck, even a bug if he wanted to. I don't put Yahweh in a box. As the prophet Isaiah declares, Yahshua is the everlasting Father." He doesn't declare that, but he says, "There is one person, but this one person can manifest in millions of different ways in millions of different places all at the same time. But Yahshua and the Father are the same person. So for those who don't know, this belief that Daniel John Lee is teaching here, that Jesus Christ is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is known as modalism. Now, it of course flies completely in the face of so many scriptures which clearly show a separation of persons, with Jesus the Son being different, although united with God the Father. Okay. Now, I firstly encourage you to watch the video that I made several weeks ago on the subject, but either way, I'll briefly address the false teaching here. First of all, plural pronouns are used several times when God is speaking. John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto... Wait, did I say verse 13? I meant verse 23. Did I? I don't know. Well, John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So he's saying we. So what does that mean? There's more than one person. There's him and there's the Father. Genesis 1:26, and God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, and the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Genesis 11:7 says, Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says, Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Okay, and there are other factors that show a separation between the Father and Jesus, or Yahshua, as Daniel calls him. In John chapter 5, verse 22, for example, it says, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now, if the Father and the Son are the same person, this makes no sense. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So it's only the Father knows. But if the Father and the Son are the same person, then that means Jesus would know as well. Okay? John chapter 17, verse 1 to 3, Jesus is praying to the Father. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So he's talking to a different person. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So he's talking to the Father, who has sent Jesus Christ as a separate person. Okay? And Jesus Christ prays to the Father. Now, here's another very important passage which shows that they're different persons. Matthew chapter 20, verse 23. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Okay, so Jesus is saying that the gift of being on his right hand or on his left is not his to give, but it's something that the Father gives. Now, again, this wouldn't make any sense if Jesus was the Father, and if there's only one person in the Godhead. Because if this were true, then Jesus would be a liar, because this is not a true statement. Okay, if Jesus were the Father, then it would be a lie to say it's not mine to give, because the Father is the one giving the gift. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible declared that Jesus was perfectly sinless, okay? He was tempted at all points as we are, and yet without sin. Okay, so he was not lying. Jesus was not a liar. It is truly not his to give, because he's not the Father. So when he said, it's not mine to give, it's not his to give, because he's not the Father. Okay? And not only that, but the Bible makes it clear that nobody can see or has ever seen God the Father. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, and John 1:18, and John 5:37, and John 6:46, and 1 John 4:12, and 1 Timothy 6:16. And yet Jesus was clearly seen, and will clearly be seen in the future. The Bible says that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. Jesus said to Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 29, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. So the Bible also says that God is not a man nor a son of man in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, which are both titles that are given to Jesus, okay? He's called a man and a son of man throughout the Bible, but in Numbers 23:19, it says God is not a man or a son of man. So the only thing that makes sense is that there's more than one person. So guess what? Jesus and the Father had different wills. Jesus didn't know everything that the Father knew. Jesus prayed to the Father. Jesus is identified as the literal Son of the Father in 2 John 1:3. The Father gives Jesus his power and his position. Nobody can see the Father, although people have seen Jesus. And the Father is not a man, but Jesus is called a man. So what's the conclusion to make from these clear teachings of Scripture? That Jesus, the Son of God, is not God the Father. Modalism is a wicked lie from hell, just as evil as the doctrine of works salvation. Okay? So those are two major false doctrines, and those things are not only the clearest things in Scripture, or some of the clearest things in Scripture, but the things which primarily distinguish biblical Christianity from false religions. Okay? So you have the biblical Trinity and salvation by grace through faith, and then pretty much a lot of false religions, all false religions, you have salvation by works and oneness. That's the religion of the Antichrist. That's the religions of the world. So he does teach very clear false doctrine, and you should not listen to what he says. But I'm not done yet, okay? That's not all. Because I also want to point out that Daniel John Lee is a false prophet, not just a false teacher. Because he claims to speak for God, and he claims that the Holy Spirit speaks through him, and that he is an holy apostle of God. Okay? Now, I suggest to all the viewers out there to look up spiritandtorah.info, which is a website that exposes Daniel John Lee and shows all the threats and the disgusting and prideful statements that he's made on Facebook or on his other websites. Now, before talking about that, I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 18, which says in verse 20 to 22, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt, and thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." So the person who claims to speak for Jehovah, but whose predictions do not come to pass, they are a false prophet, okay, and they should be put to death. Well, it just so happens that that's exactly what Daniel John Lee did, okay? Now just watch this video and listen to what he has to say. This is a video of Daniel John Lee making a false prophecy.
Shalom, happy Preparation Day. This is Daniel John Lee with Torah Restoration Ministries. This is my repentance for not being patient enough with all of you out there. So here we go. Proof Yahshua returns for his bride in 2017 by Daniel John Lee. I am not writing a theory. I am not writing my ideas. I am not writing what I think or guess may happen. I am writing under the authority of Yahshua of Nazareth, by his blood, and under his Ruach HaKadosh, and this is 100% certain. So take heed, Yah speaks now. In the year 1780...
Okay, now at the end of the video, he says something similar.
The Ruach HaKadosh... write this under the inspiration and anointing of the Ruach HaKadosh by the authority of the blood of Yahshua of Nazareth. This is not a theory. This is a fact.
So he's claiming to speak under the authority of Jesus Christ. He's claiming direct authority from the Holy Spirit, claiming inspiration from the Holy Spirit. And in this video, the video that I just showed you, where he talked about, he said there's proof that Jesus will return in 2017. So that was his prediction, and he claimed to be speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the fact that he predicted the world will end and Jesus would return by 2017 shows that he's a false prophet, because here we are a year and a half later in early 2019 and Yahshua still hasn't returned. Okay, so what does that make Daniel John Lee? It makes him a false prophet. Okay, now besides his false teachings, besides his false prophecies, I think you should also just stay away from Daniel John Lee if you're in Oregon, which is where he lives, or if you ever see him or if you ever talk to him, just ignore him, block him out, or just try to avoid him, try to avoid his videos and his teachings, because not only is he just a false teacher and a liar and a deceiver, but he's also just a terrorist and a violent person. Okay, he's posted many threats against many people, and he's actually he's actually celebrated and kind of rejoiced in the fact. He said, "Well, one day I'm gonna wash my feet in your blood," or something. And he says that to pretty much everybody he disagrees with. I don't know if he says it that much anymore, but he used to say that, especially back in like 2011. But Daniel John Lee posted threats against officials of Clackamas County in Oregon. He said that Yahweh will destroy them and destroy his ex-wife. And I think this arose about a dispute over his kids or something. Like, his wife divorced him and he didn't have custody over his kids. And he was saying that God is telling me that he's going to destroy you and you're all going to die and I'm going to wash my feet in your blood and stuff like that. Okay, now warrants were issued for his arrest after he posted these things online. And he was found in Alaska and he fought really hard physically to arrest. So he's punching people and trying to kick people, and there are a lot of people who had to come to apprehend him. That was back in 2011. Since then, he's done some other things. Like, he's been married and divorced multiple times, and he's been trying to lure in Christian women in order to make them perfectly submit to him, because he wants to just go out and find as many people as possible. So this man is dangerous. He exalts himself as an apostle and a prophet as well. So please go check out the www.spiritandtorah.info website to see the kind of wicked things that Daniel said on air. And I'm not going to go through them all, but some screenshots that you can see of his Facebook page shows that he just says some really wicked things. For example, he said, and he was claiming that this is what the Lord told him, this is what the Lord said. He said that anyone who opposes Daniel Yohanan Lee in any form or fashion will instantly lose every chance of inheriting eternal life. So watch what you say to my holy apostle and prophet. And that was his exact words that he posted on Facebook. That's what he said. So basically, it's a direct statement from God, from him, that's what he's claiming, that anybody who criticizes him whatsoever will go to hell. So he's a false prophet, he's a false teacher, he's a liar, he's exalting himself, he's giving glory to himself. He's just doing this in order to lure in women and to deceive people, and he probably has some kind of demon or some kind of unclean spirit who's teaching these kinds of things, who's causing him to do these kinds of things. So if I were you, watch out for this viper, mark him, and don't listen to anything that he says. Don't watch his videos. So thank you, everybody, for watching. Beware of false prophets. Thank you, and goodbye.